The next that we can see is the Tipu's palace. It was the summer residence of Tipu Sultan. It's largely built out of wood with elaborate arch resembles the Darya Daulata Bagh in Srirangapatna near Mysore. Now, when we are talking about Tipu's palace, it was supposed to be the summer residence or the summer retreat of Tipu Sultan. If you see most of the carvings, they will be wooden carvings, and it is very good because it is mostly well preserved. That is, it is still well preserved here. There are different kinds of monuments inside the palace or different kinds of areas wherein you can see the magnificent architecture which is here. The next that we have is Bangalore Fort near the palace, which was earlier built in mud by Kempe Gowda, afterwards in stone by Hyder Ali, and then by Tipu Sultan. So this is Bangalore Fort, which is near the vicinity of Tipu's palace. At Nandi Deva temple, a huge Nandi idol 15 feet in height and 20 feet in length is said to be about 500 years old. So that's one more temple. It is one of the most famous temples, and it has a big Nandi idol. The legend with it which goes is that the Nandi idol which is here kept on growing. So there is a Trishul, or it is said to be a Trishul, which is on top of this particular idol, which is actually stopping the growth of this Nandi idol. So there are many festivals and in this particular temple which takes place. Now comes the Bellur. Alright, this is famous for the Hoysala style temples. This is one of the most magnificent architecture that you can see in the entire India. It is the UNESCO World Heritage Site. The temple has a unique Hoysala style architecture. Now, when we are talking about Hoysala style temples, these have more overwhelming or more what I should say, voluptuous female sculptures across the temples, which are intricately carved. The details are so brilliantly brilliantly done that people the Hoysala style architecture is a subject of study when we are talking about architectures in India. So the Chenak Seva temple dedicated to Lord Vishnu was built in 1117 AD. It took 103 years to complete. This is the style of temple that we have. There are many sculptures which are so famous that when you are studying architecture, you need to know this particular. So there are certain sculptures which we are talking about, like the lady with the parrot, or then there is another famous sculpture wherein the lady with the mirror is there. So if you search these images with that particular name along with Bellur, you will get the images of this famous sculptures which are there. The details are the way even the nails are portrayed, or even the hair are portrayed in this particular sculptures are the detailing is here. So the next city that we have is Mysore, which was the capital of the Wodeyars, rulers of Mysore since the 14th century until the independence from British, except for the 40 years rule of Hyder Ali and Tipu Sultan. Now, the present Grand Mysore Palace was completed in 1912 at a cost of 42 lakhs. The palace has beautiful domes, archways, turrets and colonnades. Now, when we are talking about Mysore Palace, it is most famous for the magnificent Dasera festival lightings and the elaborately decorated, ornamented elephant parade, or the elephants that are here. Apart from that, the Mysore Palace, the interiors, the exterior, both are magnificent. It is one of the must visit sites when you go to Mysore. It has the halls or the areas which are there. Then there is a museum which houses Raja Ravi Verma's oil paintings, which are one of the masterpieces that Indian art has to offer. Apart from that, there are different halls and different artifacts which are still there. The pillars, then there are murals on the wall. there are things inside the palace which are worth seeing. So that is definitely one of the tourist attractions that we have. So it has beautiful domes, archways, turrets and colonnades. So all of this add to the Mysore Palace. There are gardens which are in front of it. So that is the Mysore Palace which we have. Furthermore, the Bellur, the site which is there, is the proposed site for UNESCO heritage. There are the sculptures that we talked about. So these two make up one of the major tourist attractions, wherein the inflow of the tourist from outside is major. So this is the major visiting site that we have. Next are the Brindavan Garden. It is at the base of the Krishnaraja Sagar Dam across the river Kaveri. Again, one of the magnificent gardens, very well maintained, has fountains which gives you light and sound evening shows that are held over here. There are the grass sculptures, that are given. Those are known as topiaries. Then there are different kinds of layouts, so there are different areas. Then obviously the entire garden is flocked with many photographers who will be giving you 1 minute photos. So the scenic beauty of the garden is extremely good, with a backdrop of the dam on one side. The dam and the garden were built in 1932 during the rule of Krishnaraja Budhiyar. Gardens were planned by the Raja's Diwan Sir Mirza-e Salmin. The next that we have is the Bandipur National Park. Earlier it was supposedly the private hunting ground for the royals. Later it became a national park. It includes rocky hills and valleys drained by the rivers of Kabini, Nugu, Moyar and numerous other small streams. So it is one of the site where you can definitely go to view the flora and fauna of the place. So that's Bandipur National Park that we have. These are the pictures. That's the Tipu Sultan intricate arcs. These are the wooden pillars, wooden architecture. Then we have the Bangalore Fort nearer to Tipu's palace. We have Nandi Deva temple. This is the idol. If you can see the height of the idol in comparison. Then we have the Chinak Seva temple exhibiting Hoysala architecture. This is just the main frame, but if you search for the images, you will understand some of the sculptures which are here. This is the intricately carved, this is the famous sculpture with the lady with the mirror. So if you actually go there and you get a very good tourist guide, most of these architectures are very well explained by the tourist guides at these temples. Then there is Mysore Palace, the interiors. This is the exterior of Mysore Palace. You can see how magnificent the structure is, and the Brindavan Garden at Mysore. So this is just one area of the garden. So there are many many other pictures that you can see, and they have excellent sights. Now that was Karnataka. Let's see what Kerala has to offer. Kerala, the state, is known for its backwaters. It is definitely one of the most sought after tourist attractions of the tourist states. It is not only the ambience of the place, that is the scenic beauty that is dealing with it, but the other attractions that Kerala has to offer. It is very tourist friendly state. The marketing strategy which is taken by Kerala Tourism Department also adds to the number of the tourists that are visiting Kerala. So ideally, when we talk about Kerala, we are talking about the backwaters, we are talking about the houseboats of Kerala. So apart from that, what are the attractions that Kerala has to offer? Let's see. One of the attractions is the Baikal Fort. It is the biggest fort in Kerala, spread over 40 acres. Now the tourism department is coming up with a project wherein the Baikal area will be a tourism zone area, special tourism zone area. The project is underway. If that happens, it is going to boost the tourism in the area. So this is one attraction which one can observe. There is an observation tower, a mosque, Hanuman temple and other monuments within the fort. Now, next is the Bolgatti Palace. Now, this is a palace which was built a long time, that's 1630s by the Dutch. It is located at Bolgatti Island and it takes a boat ride to reach it. Now, this particular palace is today a resort, all right? So, it is one of the place wherein if you want to actually go to that particular palace, it's an island, you have to sit on a boat and go there. It is one of the famous resorts over there. It is famous for the spas, the Ayurvedic tour package that is observed, and the authentic Keral food that is available. So it is something which gives the Keral feel to it. Apart from that, it is the architecture of the palace that is also attractive. Next, what we have is a temple, that's Chotanikara, which is the most important temple among 393 shrines that we have spread across the three districts of Kerala. Now, this is the temple which is sought out by the devotees because of the legends which are involved with respect to the deity. It is said that whatever you ask will be granted. That's the temple over here. So, the wishes will be fulfilled. Now, what is attached? There are many legends attached to the main idol. It is the divine mother known as Raja Rajeshwari. Is worshipped here in three forms: Saraswati in the morning, Lakshmi at noon, and Durga in the evening. The rituals take place in such a way. There is also a water body near the temple. That is where the Devi is bathed, and then there is a ritualistic bath involved. After that, there is a procession, the ceremonies, and all this are daily done. There is an idol of Mahavishnu on the same pedestal, and so the deity is called Amin Narayan, Devi Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan or Bhadra Narayan, and so on. So there are many legends which are here. This is one of the popular legend that I told. The other one that we have is the Christ Church. The church is one of the very old church which is built near Trivandrum. It is for divine services for the European residents here. So again, the legend goes, when we had the European people coming here, they required a place for the services. So that's how the Christ Church came into being. Now we have the Edakkal Caves. These are the two natural caves which are located 1000 meters high at Ambukkuttimala. They are said to be very old because of the writings that are found in this. So inside the caves are the pictorial writings believed to be from the Neolithic man. So these are one of the sites where you can see these caves here. Then what we have is the Fort Kochi. When we say Fort Kochi, it is an entire area near Kochi, the city, which is a municipal town. Now it has an ambience, a typical ambience to it, wherein a mixture of culture you can see. The buildings are, some are influenced by Portugal style, some by the Dutch style, some typical South Indian style. So all of this are together done. So these are the buildings which are there. Then again, we have the Chinese fishing nets which are famous over here. So on a tour of this particular Kochi city tour, this is what you can view here. Next is the Guru Vayur, which is the most revered and sacred pilgrimage center of the Hindus in Kerala. The main temple in the town is dedicated to Lord Shiva, known as the Guru Vayurappan. So there is a temple which is present at Guru Vayur. There are legends attached to this particular city town again with respect to the temple. There are devotees who flock to the temple of Lord Krishna. The next temple that we have is the famous Padmanabha Swami temple, famous for being the richest temple, one which houses the treasure underneath. So the found treasure is worth 20 billions. It was in news, and there are vaults which are there starting from A to A, B, C, D, E. Such are the names which are given by the Archaeological Survey of India. And some of these vaults are still locked. Some of these vaults are, some of the treasure is still counted. The treasure is so huge that the worth is supposedly to be 20 billions. It has old gold coins. It has many olden artistic artifacts that we have. Apart from the treasure, the Padmanabha Swami temple is also famous for the exquisite architecture that the temple has, and the idol which is inside, that is the Vishnu temple which is there. So that's Padmanabha Swami temple. Next, what we have is the Jewish synagogue at Cochin. It is supposed to be the oldest synagogue in the Commonwealth countries. Now, it the reason why it is famous is because of the scrolls that it has. So that is one. Apart from that, it is the interior of the synagogue which is there. This it has a huge chandeliers inside. So it is built in 1568. Also preserves the grants of privilege. That were bequeathed to the Jewish community by the erstwhile Kochi rulers. There are nearly 200 exquisite hand-painted Chinese tiles, not one of which resembles any other. That is one of the things which the synagogue has. So the interiors are also worth visiting. So definitely one of the sites that no one wants to miss. The other one is the Muttoncherry Palace, which was originally built by the Portuguese and presented to the king of Kochi as a gift, which was later taken over by the Dutch. So it has the coronation hall, it has a photo gallery, it also houses a museum which has the artifacts inside. So these are one of the things which are there in the Muttoncherry Palace. Next is the Hill Palace, which has the largest archaeological museum in Kerala. It was the administrative office of Kochi Rajas. So this is also one of the places of visit. Although the architecture of both of these buildings might not be as magnificent as the other palaces or what we know of, but definitely what it has is a rich rich history attached to it. So that is one thing that Kerala has. The palace complex here, the one that we are talking about, consists of 49 buildings and spread across in 54 acres. We are talking about the Hill Palace here. Now, ideally, this particular palace houses archaeological museum, heritage museum, deer park, prehistoric park, and a children's park. Presently, the palace has been converted into a museum by Kerala State Archaeological Department. So, when we are talking about these buildings for Hill Palace, the pictures or the building monuments are different than one another. That is, they are spread across the area. Let us see. The first one is the Padmaswami Temple. That's the Gopuram that we see here. Then we have the Jewish Synagogue. The interiors, you can see the chandeliers, the artifacts here. We have the Muttoncherry Palace, which has the murals. This depict Ramayan episodes on the walls. And we have one of the monuments of the Hill Palace. So this is a spread out which has beautiful monuments, but at a distances. Let's see the next slide. Now let us deal with the state of Madhya Pradesh, located in center India, and so the tagline, the heart of India. If you have seen the tourism department's ads which come up for Madhya Pradesh. Now it houses one of the most famous sites that India has to offer to the world. That's Khajuraho, that's in northern Madhya Pradesh. Now it is supposedly to be one of the seven wonders and is the entire UNESCO World Heritage Site. It has been listed under that because of the group of temples and the excellent carvings or the architecture of the temples that we have. So Khajuraho, here you can see the Jain and the Hindu temples. These sandstone temples date back to 10th and 11th century and are the only ones remaining out of the 85 temples constructed during this times. Now there are various legends which goes by with respect to the architecture seen in this particular temple groups. Now when we are talking about Khajuraho, with respect to the name of the city, it is said Khajur, that's the date, and there were many date palms across in this particular area, and that's how the name came up. There are various legends attached to the typical Khajuraho temple architecture. The Khajuraho group of monuments here those deal with the architecture of erotic sculptures which are across the exterior walls of the temple. Some say it is a part of the tantric cult which was there. The others say that it is a part of the philosophy wherein one should get out of the maya which is there and then go in to the garbhagriha which houses the main deity, or raise from the worldly affairs towards the temple. That is towards God. So that is how the temple architecture is created. There are the roofs of the temple which are built in such a way that they are going upwards, that is tapering upwards. So there are various philosophies attached to it. Nevertheless, the architecture is worth seeing. And Khajuraho is one of the sites which are visited by the maximum number of tourists coming from outside India. So that's the inbound tourism that is there. So once it was a sleepy village, today it is the tourism hotspot that draws most of the tourists who are coming to Madhya Pradesh. Next, what we have is the Bandhavgarh and Kanha National Park, attracting large number of tourists. Now Madhya Pradesh has a unique thing here, wherein we have two national parks here which come under the tiger projects as well. So the sightings which are seen at Bandhavgarh and Kanha, both of these national parks, are excellent. They also they have various safaris, jeep safaris and others which take place here. So that is how the tourists are attracted. The next, what we have, the city of Gwalior, famous for the massive hilltop Gwalior Fort. The entire size of the fort itself is overwhelming. Great views. It is supposedly the most invincible forts in India, and its history stretches back across over 1,000 years. Inside the fort walls are a number of palaces and temples, the highlight being the Man Mandir Palace. Now inside the fort itself there are Rang Mahal, Man Mandir Palace, etc. It is not only the beauty of the architecture, but how the massive scale that the Gwalior Fort has been built up, along with the magnificent history of valor that that it has to offer. So here are two tourist attractions of Madhya Pradesh. That's one's Khajuraho and the other one Gwalior, which requires a very good tourist guide to have an excellent tourism experience here. Now at the bottom of the fort, the old town of Gwalior, brimming with history and examples of Mughal architecture, can be seen, such as the tomb of Tansen. So there are many other sites which can be visited, but not to be missed is the Gwalior fort that we have. The next city is the Orchha. The Orchha is one of the cities which has brilliant sites to offer. They have lots of chhatris, chhatravalis or chhatris that we have. These are well preserved. Then there are palaces and temples that Orchha has, and each of the palace, each of the temples have brilliant legends which are there, which make the entire experience of visiting that temple or visiting that palace is worthwhile. Now when we talk about chhatris, we are talking about a monument which is created for honoring a person. So those are the chhatris. Then there are various gardens which are also present here. Three main palaces are enclosed within Orchha's fortified walls. The Jahangir Mahal is the largest and the most impressive one. Now when we are talking about the architecture here, it has certain unique architectural styles to it, wherein Mughal architecture you can see the impact of Mughal architecture. Then the Rajputana style of architecture, which involves the chhatris to it, can be seen, along with a Persian touch to it. So it gives a different kind of architectural style. Next is the Mandu, that's the city which attracts attractions are spread across three different areas. Now when we are talking about Mandu, there is a legend attached again to the city. So Jahaz Mahal is the most impressive one. It is supposedly on the waterfront here. Other notable monuments are those of the Jama Masjid, Hoshang's tomb, Baz Bahadur's palace and Roopmati's pavilion. Now each of these have many beautiful legends attached to each and every palaces and monuments, such as the Mandu is forming the backdrop for the famous love story between with respect to Roopmati. So these are the legends here, or the history here, which is rich with these stories, make the tourist sites more interesting than the architecture itself. Now let's see pictures with respect to that. This is the Khajuraho temple. A typical Khajuraho temple will have a platform on which it is raised. Then there are levels of intricately carved sculptures, each rising on top of the other. And then there is the roof of the temple, which resembles mountains. So it is it maintains the philosophy or the legends that this denotes Kailash temples or the mountains that would be the abode where the gods are. So the philosophy is rise from the worldly affairs towards the top. That's where the god is, or your self realization. So these are one. Then we have the Gwalior Fort, the magnificent structure of Gwalior Fort. You can view this particular images. The inside interiors of Gwalior Fort are also there. Furthermore, there are certain areas which have the blue tiles, and that's how the decorations have taken place. Ideally, it is so massive that it might require for an ardent traveler to have approximately 2 to 2.5 hours to view the entire fort. Then we have the Jahangir Mahal at Orcha, one of the magnificent structures and definitely a worth visit. You can see it's on the hilltop, giving you the great views of the city of Orcha. This is the Jahaz Mahal at Mandu, which is located in between two artificial lakes, and that's how Jahaz Mahal is the name which is there. So if you can see the architecture of Jahangir Mahal or the Jahaz Mahal, we have the presence of the Chhatri. We have the presence of domes and other things. So that's how the architecture is different. This is the Jama Masjid. The entire spread of the Jama Masjid is such, and it can house a maximum number of devotees here. We have Hoshang's tomb. Hoshang Shah was supposedly the first appointed ruler here, and he was one of the most respected rulers because he has done lots of good things for the people at his time. Now this is unique in architecture because of the dome. Which is supposedly the first one of its kind architecture that we can see in India. We have Baz Bahadur and Roopmati, the famous love story between Baz Bahadur and Roopmati. Here is Baz Bahadur's palace and Roopmati's pavilion, as seen from here. So the story says that Baz Bahadur called up Roopmati to stay here, but Roopmati said that she needs a palace to stay, and that's how the Roopmati's pavilion was formed. So again, there are various legends which go by this, and all the legends are associated with the architectural monuments that we have. The next site which is slightly different in respect to the ambience, and that's Sanchi. Now when we talk about Sanchi, the immediate thing that springs up to the mind is the Sanchi Stupa, making it one of the most important sites of Buddhist circuits. So most of the sites being in Bihar, from Bihar, this Sanchi Stupa is an important site for Buddhism as a religion. So Sanchi has several Buddhist monuments. Well, between 3rd century and 12th century, the Great Stupa is one of the first stone structures of India. Foundation was laid down by Emperor Asoka to honor and house the relics. The relics we are talking about, Buddha's relic. Ujjain is major attraction for devotees from all over the world. So that's the Hindu temple that Ujjain has. Now, when we are talking about Sanchi, there are monasteries at this place, and the main attraction being the Great Stupa. The reason why it is so is the Buddha relics, which are supposedly housed here, the foundation being laid by Ashoka. There are different toranas or the gateways which have jataka tails sculpted on it. Then there are certain other sculptures. One of the most famous one in that particular monument would be the lady holding a branch of the tree. So that is one which is famous here, and the pillar which is at that particular monument. Let's see Ujjain. Why Ujjain is famous? It is the site of Kumbh Mela, alright. And again, the legend goes there are four sites for Kumbh Mela wherein the drops of the nectar had fallen. That's Amrit during the ocean churning. So Ujjain is one such. It is also a site for 12 Jyotirlingas. That's Mahakaleshwar temple. It is an ancient temple which has one of the 12 important Jyotirlingas. So if you can see, the temple is facing southwards. That is the huge shrine of the Lord is facing southward. Furthermore, there is a river which is riverfront near that particular temple, making it one of the holiest shrines to be visited. This is the Sachi Stupa that we are talking about, the stone structure, and very well preserved or maintained. We are talking about the Toranas which have the Jataka tail processions. Then this is the sculpture that is of the lady which is holding the tree branch. So it also has various meanings attached to it. Wherein we are talking about this particular sculpture being the deity of the forest, and this is the tree which is said to be Sala tree, alright. So this is regarded with respect to certain philosophies wherein they are talking about a fertility deity. So it denotes prosperity with respect to the architecture and what the historians believe in. So this is the Mahakaleshwar temple and Ujjain. So these are the pictures for Sachi Stupa and Ujjain here. Now let us start with the next state, that is Maharashtra. Maharashtra is home to Mumbai city, which is supposedly one of the two main gateways for international travelers to India. So out of which Mumbai is in Maharashtra. So the Mumbai airport, or what we know as the gateway, the main airport for which most of the international tourists will arrive in India. So Mumbai is here in Maharashtra, and this is a lot of help, or it's a positive USB to Maharashtra as a state if we are looking forward for tourism. Now in Mumbai city itself, although most of the times it is used as a gateway point, and from here the tourists might hail to other sectors in India. For suppose if an international tourist want to come here, Mumbai and Delhi are the two points where most of the international flights would be here. And from here, from Mumbai or from Delhi, they might catch a domestic flight to their destinations. So in spite of that, as per the patterns that we see, the tourism or the tourists, international tourists who are coming to India, do spend about 2 or 3 days in Mumbai. And the major attractions in Mumbai would be definitely the Elephanta Caves that we have, and some other attractions that we have here. So let's see, the first one that we have is the Gateway of India. It is standing on the shore on Gateway of India, Mumbai. Here it is a beautiful architecture which has a mixture of Indo-Saracenic style, wherein the Mughal architecture is seen in the dome. Then there are Hindu architecture, Gujarati architecture. It was said to be built to welcome King George V along with Queen Mary for their visit in India. So that was a triumphal, it was built on the thing of triumphal arch architecture and Gujarat style. And it is beautifully column triumphal arch which is there. Now today when you see Gateway of India, it will the architecture still stands along with the open courtyard in front of it. Then there are statues of there. Furthermore, in the background what we can see is a beautiful beautiful structure of the Taj, that's the hotel which is there. Next what we have is Hanging Gardens. The name suggests that it's hanging. Very rightly so, because it seems that it is hanging on a cliff. It is located near the posh area of Malabar Hill. The reason why it was constructed was to cover up a reservoir, the main reservoir of Mumbai in early days, and this was done so as to help protect the reservoir from contamination from the nearby towers of silence. These are the ones which are used by the Zoroastrians to expose of their dead to the scavenging birds. So the main reason for this garden to be built in such a place was this. Today it is a very good picnic spot. It is beautiful garden with the shapes of the grasses. Then the most famous monument over here, which attracts lots of children, would be the old woman's shoe, which is there, and it provides great views once reaching on the top. Then we have Mahalakshmi Temple. It is one of the major attractions in Mumbai, especially because it has the idols of three goddesses, which are Mahakali, Mahasaraswati and Mahalakshmi. There are many legends which go with the temple. It is said that in order to save the idols from Muslim invaders, these idols were taken and hidden in the Worli Creek. Later on, during the British rule, when they were trying to connect the islands, Worli and the Malabar, the work was given to one of the Hindu architect. And here, what happens is lots of obstacles came on before the project was completed. So in his dream, the goddesses came and told that we are hidden in the Worli Creek, and that's how he took the idols out, and this is the spot where the temple has been built. So Mahalakshmi Temple is also visited by newly wed couples and for the blessings. Next that we have is the Haji Ali Shrine. It is inside the creek. There is a narrow path which goes through there. In high tides, the path might be submerged, so we won't be able to reach there. Haji Ali Shrine is of one of the saint year. Then we have Marine Drive. It is known that in the night it resembles the necklace of pearls necklace, so, or the queen's necklace as we call it. So Marine Drive is a beautiful, beautiful scene that we can see, a curved path. Next that we have are the famous beaches of Juhu and Chowpatty, always thriven and have lots of people visiting them, especially on the weekends. Then we have Mani Bhavan. Mani Bhavan is, although when we look at the building, it's a simple building, but inside we have a museum which deals with life of Mahatma Gandhi. So there are different things which are here. There is a small miniature museum, I could say, wherein the most important episodes of our the struggle for freedom has been depicted here. Then we have a global Vipassana Pagoda. It is a part wherein people can come here and go for certain workshops. It is a part of the Global Vipassana World Project that is taken. There is meditation workshops. There are workshops wherein you have to be silent for 12 days or so. Then there are there is a big pagoda. Pagoda in the sense it is a huge tapering pagoda which is there, and it is golden in color. It is lighted in the night and it shines beautifully. It is near to one more attraction, that is Essel World. It is off the island, so you have to actually take a boat to reach there. Then we have the Prince of Wales Museum, Grade 1 heritage structure. Brilliant. If you are actually someone who is very much interested in the museums and the artifacts, it will actually require you about two and a half hours. There are also guided tours given for the museum. There are audio tours which are given here. There are many galleries. One of the famous ones would be the miniature painting galleries. Then there will be Chinaware. Then there are different artifacts, very precious artifacts from Tibet, Burma, etc. So this is Prince of Wales Museum, not only famous for the what it holds inside, but also for the beautiful structure that it has. Today it is known as Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj Vastu Sangrahalaya. Earlier it was known as Prince of Wales Museum. Then, apart from all this and many other which Mumbai has to offer, we have the Elephanta Caves, which are at the Gharapuri Islands, just off 10 kilometers of Mumbai coast. There are boats, which is about 50 minutes ride here. Here we have caves which have fine sculptures depicting the glory of Lord Shiva. So there are many sculptures or depicting certain episodes like Shiva and Parvati are sitting on a Kailash Parvat, and there is Ravan who is lifting the Kailash Parvat, and then Lord Shiva has his toe on the Kailash and pressing Ravan back again. So that is one of the beautiful structure there. There is another one known as Ardhanarishwar. However, the most famous one would be Trimurti. While going towards the caves, you have to go on a flight of stairs. So you can see there are small stalls wherein they might sell souvenirs with t-shirts of these sculptures printed on them. There are regular motor boats, and of course it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. There is also Elephanta Caves Festival. Recently the Elephanta Caves Festival was moved from the Elephanta Caves ground, that is the Gharapuri Island, to Gateway of India because of many people who are coming here. And so that not to pressurize, not to have pressure of such an inbound tour here at Gharapuri. So these Elephanta Caves during these festivals are lighted. There are certain cultural shows which are held here. So definitely when we talk about numbers, this Elephanta Caves attract many visitors on especially on the festivals, but also during other times. Moving on to the next city that we have is Aurangabad. Aurangabad, which is particularly famous for the heritage sites of Ajanta and Ellora. Now these are world famous sites. They are again UNESCO. They have a plethora of 29 rock cut cave mountains here, which stand as tall as important symbol of architectural achievement of the country, the mural paintings in Ajanta and the sculptures in Ellora. Now when we are talking about Ajanta caves, the caves have beautiful paintings on their walls. So some of the famous paintings you can say is the Padmapani painting, which is there. Most of the times it is depicted on various souvenirs which you can take back with you at home. Then there are also many other paintings. There are guides which can take you across the cave. It's a flight, that is, since they are rock cut cave mountains, that is, there is a mountain and the entire caves are rock cut. If you're lucky enough to get a very good guide and who shows you how these particular paintings were done. Today they are well preserved paintings, talking about how old they are. Compared to that, they are very, very well preserved. There are certain caves which are a must watch here. Then there are certain things wherein most of the paintings have. For example, there are the jewelry which is taken by which is worn by the apsaras which are there. Most of the paintings deal with life of Buddha, that's Jataka tales. Then there are many other things which come up. What is more important here is that this paintings tell us how rich our culture was in early days and how well these artisans have done these paintings for them to last for so long. So again, what we have in Ellora are rock cut temples. These temples are mostly Jain, Hindu, and again Buddhist temples that we have. The most famous one would be the Kailash temple that we have at Ellora. Again, there are legends or episodes of Shiva's life in this particular temple. Most of the famous ones will be again Ardhanarishwar, the Natarajan, and the dancing pose of Shiva. These sculptures will be at Ellora. So Ajanta and Ellora are not exactly at the same site, but they are way apart. So definitely when people come to Mumbai, they spend some time at Mumbai and then proceed ahead to Aurangabad. Aurangabad was owing to its name, which was named by Aurangzeb, and who made it viceregal capital to rule over the Deccan. He also built the other attraction that we have at Aurangabad would be Bibi Ka Maqbara. And the one thing that we know about Bibi Ka Maqbara is it was used as a template for Taj Mahal. So it is as a tribute to his mother and imitation of Taj Mahal. So these are the jewels that Maharashtra has, and definitely a USB that attracts the international travelers from across the world and the domestic travelers as well. We have certain pictures here. That's Gateway of India. We these are the boats. Most of these boats, there will be also catamarans which are going to nearby Alibag, city of Alibag. Further ahead, these are the boats which also take the tourists to Elephanta Caves or just the rides. And over here in the background, we have the Taj. That's the hotel. These are the Three Idols Mahalakshmi Temple. That's the Hanging Garden, and you can see the gardens here. This is the Haji Ali Shrine, which is in the middle of the creek, and the narrow path which leads to the ground. So ideally, if you search for images of each and every attractions, you will find there are many images which are located. That's the global Vipassana pagoda that we have. If you can see the creek in the background and the golden pagoda shrine here, there are many other structures which are built nearby. Some of the structures are still under construction. This is the famous Tri Murti that we have at Elephanta Caves. Now this is the Padmapani painting that Ajanta Caves has. The Serene Expressions, there are many times that this particular painting is imitated. And these are the temples which are at Ellora. So this is the entire open area from under which you can see this particular temples. So again, guided tours are given at Ellora. There are also festivals which are held, which are Ajanta Ellora festivals. Moving ahead, we have another options for tourist destinations are the Lonavala, Khandala and Mahabaleshwar. These are one of the most famous weekend destinations, and these are the hill stations here. So Lonavala and Khandala are famous for their beautiful scenes, and most of the points, everybody who can go there can definitely buy the chikkis, which are very famous here. We have Mahabaleshwar and Panchkani, which are again the hill resorts, offering many views of the nearby hills. These are the ideal destinations during monsoon, but they are definitely all season. That is, throughout the year one can visit. Then again, we have the Mapro Garden, which is famous for the strawberries and other beautiful strawberry foodstuffs that we have here. So these are the hill stations, the most famous hill station in Maharashtra, and their proximity to Mumbai make them easily reachable by the tourist. Penj is sprawling over an area of 257 square kilometer in Lower Southern, reaches at Satpura Hill. So Penj National Park is one. It has variety of wildlife. So Penj has tigers, panthers, cheetal, sambar, barking deer, nilgai, and all of these. So again, these are the national parks. There are other national parks which are also there in Maharashtra. One of the famous one might be the Taduba National Park, which is also in Maharashtra state. So these are protected areas, and tourists do flock here. The safaris are usually full. There are MTDC resorts which are there, which cater to the needs of tourists. So overall, Maharashtra has a lot to offer to the tourists. So if you can see, these are the so what happens is Maharashtra gives variety of destinations